Good Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Whether it is paint or fabric, bits of cast-off metal, or new painting covering an old work, an artist's medium is sometimes just as important as their subject. How do artists use materials to comment on society or mark a moment in time? Is a medium ever neutral? An exhibit at the Maryland Art Place titled Repurposed with Purpose, Meaning in the Materials of Making, explores the relationship between form and function. Joining me is the exhibit's curator and former director of the Baltimore Museum of Art, Doreen Bolger. Welcome to On the Record.
Well, thank you for having me.
Where did the idea for this exhibit come from?
In part, it came from just looking at the work of so many talented artists around the city. And it occurred to me how frequently they repurposed materials. I saw the work of Lesser Gonzalez Alvarez, where he cut out smiley faces from plastic bags and made collages and installations. Or Andrew Lauman, who's both a musician and an artist who picked up music flyers on Franklin Street and then made them into a collage. And as I was developing my own interest in collecting art from artists around the city, it was amazing how often this subject came up.
Are all of the pieces in this exhibit works in which the artist was consciously sending a message through the materials used?
It's very hard to answer that question conclusively because you can't get inside an artist's mind. What are they thinking at the moment they create the art? What were they thinking ahead of time? What inspired them? What happened in response to an event, both a personal event or a large social event? It's hard to be sure, but I really feel there's kind of been a surge of reasons why artists have turned to these different types of materials. It's some of these artists, even though my show is organized thematically, some of the artists could have been in all the sections because they address all the themes in their work. So it's hard to pin down.
The themes on display: legacy, activism, recreation, balance, and unity. So how do they relate to the art in this exhibit?
Well, that's a complicated answer. I'll do balance first because that's where I started with the show, in a sense, and that is how artists are so interested in how their work makes a statement about the world in which they live. And many artists are interested in, concerned about the environment and what's happening to us because we're not being responsible about the kind of materials that are in our lives, whether that's plastic or paper. Plastic is, of course, the worst. But so that section, balance, deals with the artists who are focusing on that environmental question. Unity focuses, and it was inspired by a statement made by Maren Hassinger, a sculptor who teaches at MICA, where she said, art shows us how all humankind is united. And so for me, it was very important. That was a very important statement. She makes works with pink plastic bags, and she currently has a show that my successor has put on at the BMA. So it was amazing to be able to get an artist of that consequence to participate. And many of the artists in the show are her students, which is another way of showing unity, that there are no boundaries between teachers, students, the community. We're all in this united together. Recreation. I've always known that artists used their work, reused their work in a sense, because of course if we go back to the early 20th century and we think of an artist like Pablo Picasso making collages out of various different elements of things. On the other hand, I was pretty amazed to find wonderful artists who did things like rip up their own work and then remake it into something else. Of course, as an art historian, I'm a little sad to see anything destroyed. I want everything to last forever. But in a way, its repurposing means it will last forever. Joyce Scott is another artist who repurposes things. She's, of course, one of our most distinguished artists in the city, and she often reworks her beaded pieces into new pieces. And then the activism section is more straightforwardly commenting on issues of our time, on questions of race and racism, on questions of social equity for different segments of our community, whether that be women or the LGBTQ community. There's also a section, legacy, where artists have things that either are in a legacy from their personal life or something that's an historical legacy, something that was in an historic house or a piece of furniture, and they reuse those things in their work.
As you describe these, I can see the possibility for overlap. I can see how
and connections.
A work could be viewed through each of these prisms. You mentioned Lesser Gonzalez Alvarez and his work with the smiley faces. It has the feel of pop art when I saw the image. What message do you think Alvarez is trying to deliver?
He has, a more direct message in mind, and that is that plastic is destroying the environment despite the smiling faces. Every time I look at it, and I have to, in full disclosure, say the piece that's in the show belongs to me. I bought it from him many years ago. I tried to get him to ship a piece, but he's now living in Texas. And to save him the money of shipping, we just finally decided, okay, well, my piece would do. But I, in my own home, keep it hanging on the wall, so it's the first thing I see every morning. And it serves for me as a reminder, if we want to continue to keep smiling, we are going to have to do something about how we handle ourselves in the world. And on a very straightforward, direct level, that would be by recycling plastics or using less plastics. But it's a broader thought because, in fact, we have to change how we treat other people. It's not, it's not enough to change the environment if we don't change our behavior about how we treat others. And just to summarize briefly, how we treat women, how we treat people of color, how we treat people of different gender orientations, different cultures than our own.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Doreen Bolger, former director of the Baltimore Museum of Art. She's curated an exhibit open until November 10th at the Maryland Art Place that focuses on the materials used in art and how they contribute to an artist's message. There's a striking piece titled Unraveled that's made of three piles of thread, red, white, and dark blue. Tell us about that.
That piece is by Sonia Clark, who is an amazing artist who now lives in Virginia, but who used to live in Baltimore and who had a show actually at the BMA early on. And what Sonia does is she finds Confederate flags and unravels them. And sometimes there are pieces where you can see the flag and it's begun to unravel. The piece in the repurposed show is a flag that's been completely unraveled. So it's just three piles of thread lying there on a shelf. And when I look at it, I can't speak for Sonia because I'm sure her response would be more complex than mine. But when I look at it, I think to myself, what we have to do is completely unravel the impact of the Confederacy, the Civil War, Jim Crow, the aftermath. We need to do more than we even did with the Civil Rights Act, even more than was achieved after the tragic death of Martin Luther King. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do as a nation to become more just and equitable.
The artist Rebecca Burr definitely put a lot of thought into her choice of material. Her piece titled Row Home, No Home creates a model of a street of row homes, building them out of glass, wire, bits of wood. What inspired this work?
And even plastic. She is an amazing artist, a MICA graduate from the community arts program. So she has in her vision, as she's thinking, both the desire to create great art, but also art that will capture the community, inspire the community. And I think what she's talking about in her piece is just how complicated things are in terms of how people are living in Baltimore. We have people who are living in Baltimore in abject poverty. We have houses, fantastic historic houses that are falling apart and vacant. And we have people who are homeless. And I think that all of those topics and contradictions come up in her work. And you're totally correct. It's absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, it was quite fun to install the piece. And, you know, we found a way around its sharp edges because, of course, as you know, in any kind of public exhibition, you have to worry that someone will become confused and touch something or sit on something. We even have chairs in the exhibition, and we've had to put those on pedestals so that no one is tempted to sit on them because they're not supposed to. So it's complicated in an installation with contemporary artists because sometimes they create something that invites you to touch, invites you to sit, etc. But we really don't want you to. So,
one last piece I want to ask you about by the artist Mary Opasek.
Opasek? Mm-hmm.
It's a fish made out of wood parts, a found chair, and embossed tin. Tell us about this artist's relationship to the materials.
Oh, I think that Mary's work is amazing. And it's very interesting to me because you have the materials and you have the subject. And this is where the subject and the materials come together in a really exquisite way because she's used these materials to make a fish. So in a way, you're looking at a chair seat that is a fish, and then you're reminded that if we don't take care of the environment, we're not going to have very many fish left. So it's very deep, you know, definitely the materials, you know, and the making and the meaning all converge.
How did you narrow down the pieces in this exhibit, given that every artist makes choices about the materials they use?
It was extremely hard to narrow it down. You know, I guess I could have made many different or chosen different paths, like a group of works by fewer artists. But I really wanted to include as many artists as I could. And there are 42 artists, and which is quite a few artists,
yeah,
especially,
big,
you know,
big,
for
a big range.
A show at a place like Maryland Art Place. And, you know, I could have included multiples of, I mean, I could have included 42 times 10. And now I sometimes go around to shows and I see the work of yet other people that I wish I had included or could have included or knew how to get in touch with at the time of the show. I didn't set out trying to limit how many were in the show. I did decide that the criteria would be, number one, that you needed to have been born, lived, studied in Baltimore, that there, you had to be a Maryland artist. And that goes to the heart of Maryland Art Place's important mission, which is to serve the artists in our city and state and to promote them. I also wanted very much not just to have a diversity of materials, but also to have a diversity of artists. And I thought it was important to have women represented, to have people of color represented, to have different gender orientations. So we considered all of these different things. And then, of course, gradually the themes emerged. And then as I divided the artists up, there was maybe one or two themes here or there that, you know, had too few artists and I added some, et cetera. So it was an evolving process, let's just say.
You directed the Baltimore Museum of Art for 15 years. How did the experience of curating this exhibit, how does that differ from your experience running a whole art museum?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, you know, if you run a museum, you're an administrator, and it helps if you come from a background where you've had curatorial expertise. But any person can only have a limited range of curatorial expertise, and mine was especially in dead artists, American art from about 1876 to about 1930. So it was only when I came to the Rhode Island School of Design in my career in the 1990s that I actually had the thought, oh my gosh, living artists, I can talk to them, I can buy their work. And I must say, the living artists whose work I bought sometimes on the street in Providence, Rhode Island, at an ATM machine, no less, were surprised that as a museum director, I was that interested in them. So I learned as a curator when I worked at the Met and the Eamon Carter Museum, and I grew as an administrator when I was at RISD. And then, of course, coming to the BMA, I have to say it was a bit of a shock to have 150 people reporting to you and having to manage all of those things. But I had many supportive colleagues who were helpful, and I learned from others. I learned from finance people and HR people and others who had worked in different museums. And so it's a constant learning process, you know, but definitely being a museum director is a whole different can of worms than being a curator.
There is another aspect of the repurposed effort, a virtual city tour. Tell me about that.
Yes, we're at work on that. I'm working with a sound artist, Andrew Kuiper, from the Maryland Institute College of Art. And we're going to do a tour of how artists use materials in their sculpture that will be geotagged and allow people to travel around the city and see things. So we're still at work on that, one thing at a time.
So you're recording descriptions by the artists or the curators?
It depends on who's available. Sometimes the artists are past, deceased, or not in town. So everything from, you know, going to AVAM and speaking with Rebecca Hofberger to going to the BMA and speaking with Kristen Heilman, the contemporary curator there, speaking with individual artists like David Hess, whoever we can kind of line up to do it. So I think it'll be fun.
And then at some point that will be available on the internet.
Correct. I was a little bit diverted from that by trying to finish up the actual exhibition.
And let me ask you about that in terms of the pieces on display at Maryland Art Place. What do you want visitors to repurpose to walk away with?
I want them to think about everything they surround themselves with, what they keep, what they dispose of, and how they do it and why. And I think we're at a really pivotal moment, as we know, both in terms of the environment and what we need to do, but also even as individuals, as family members. How do we share photographs that we took with cameras 30 years ago? And wouldn't it be better to digitize that and make sure all of your siblings had a copy of it? I mean, I think there are some messages here in terms of legacy, in terms of the environment, in terms of all the different things we surround ourselves with and why.
A lot to think about. Thanks for talking to us about it.
Well, thank you for having me.
Doreen Boulder, former director of the Baltimore Museum of Art, curated the exhibition Repurposed with Purpose, Meaning in the Materials of Making at the Maryland Art Place. The exhibit runs until November 10th. Quick break now on the record. I'm Sheila Castro, and we're back. A Stoop Story. We'll be right back.
for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.